Give me a minute.
We're going to try and squeeze in the enforcement report now, and then after lunch we have a HMS, I believe, presentation, and other business.
Okay, I don't see a staff member, but I think we're okay. Okay. The Enforcement Committee met on November 29th with the advisors in the Joint Enforcement Agencies at the Coast Guard Training Center on the Cape to review basically what available for immediate use means with gear stowage, and including but not limited to the TARP rule and other appropriate panels. When we were there, we had a fairly decent demonstration. Well, it was a very good demonstration. We had a video from what it looked like from the air from different types of vessels and the tarping of the net and what they could see. After the presentations, we went outside on the mock-up vessel and tried a couple of different things. And with, like I said, with the advisors and that, came up with a couple of recommendations, a couple of things that were tried. I think the showed yesterday, there was a picture in the Coast Guard report of the snow fence that was used to put on the net drum instead of the tarp. Basically, a couple of things that came out of there. We have three motions. I can get two, which I may take out of order, Karen, so bear with me. Okay, the first motion. That the committee recommend. That the towing wires be detached from the doors, which is section 648.23B14, Part B, that requires the towing wires be detached from the doors. That was a committee motion. The reasons for this included whether the wires are attached or detached cannot be observed from the air. Two, it was unsafe to detach and reattach the wires from the doors. And three, the doors, when detached, are unsecure and tend to damage the side of the boat, especially for small fiberglass boats. Part B requires that the towing wires be detached from the net. It was not included in this motion because it was irrelevant to the towing wires never being attached to the net. These are also, before we take a vote on this, it's going to be recommendations, which will be, like I said, it's a little confusing without having my staff person here, to the Groundfish Committee on what immediate use means. So if the Groundfish Committee determines what immediate use is, these are recommendations of what we think should be done. That motion's up. I think probably the motion that should go up first, and I'm sorry that one went up first, is probably to recommend that the Groundfish Committee review the definition of not available for immediate use. And if the council agrees with that, sending it to the Groundfish Committee, then we would go forward with the other two motions. So if I can sort of table my own motion for a time certain to get the first one up.
I'm going to do over.
Yeah, do over.
Paul, did you have?
I don't know. I can see if we wanted to define, you know, soon, have it, you know, soon, but immediate is pretty self-explanatory, isn't it? I mean, I don't understand why we need to define immediate. I mean, if we said soon, that might be pretty subjective, but immediate is pretty, you know, right away.
Well, right now, that's the definition is for immediate use. It's got to go back to the Groundfish Committee to decide what the immediate use is. It's not immediate use for the council. It's immediate use. That makes Paul's not agreeing.
Okay, it's a committee motion. No second required. Discussion. Rodney, you look.
I think what we were trying to get at was immediate use for deploring the gear. That's what we were trying to get at, to have the committee define that. Whether one of the things we said was remove the puckering line out of the cot end. I think before, the way it was written up, you had to detach the cot end from the net. So that's what it was to redefine that, if I'm correct.
Any council discussion? Captain DeCola.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I think the intent of the motion, if my memory serves, is to consult with the Groundfish Committee before we started changing things to make sure that things hadn't changed, because these regulations are fairly antiquated, and just to get their input on how we should proceed in terms of gear stowage, and whether we should review what immediate use means, and if there are any, if the two motions that are to follow will be acceptable. We didn't feel comfortable changing regulations without going back to the Groundfish Committee.
Terry.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chair. I just want to ensure that the Groundfish AP has some input into this. And I'm going to hate to send bad recommendations back to council.
Well, I mean, if this gets approved and it goes to the Groundfish Committee, then my assumption would be that you could schedule an AP meeting to work on it. Dave Gatham.
You know, maybe just a problem of semantics here. If you look at document number two, definition of not available for immediate use isn't just a paragraph, you know, a clause. It's a whole page. You know, it's defined after that. And that's the goal here, is to have that whole section gone through and see what's still needed and what no longer applies for a number of reasons. And the committee further had several recommendations on what they recommend be removed from this section. But the feeling was that the Groundfish Committee was the one who created this, and the Groundfish Committee is the one that ought to go through it and make sure that they agree with the Enforcement Committee. So we lost the motion on the board, but I guess the wording of the motion is all right, because it refers to this entire section. It's not just to that clause, and I think that's where the confusion may be coming from.
Gene,
I mean, I don't know if the following two should just be part of this motion, because aren't you basically saying review the definition with respect to these following recommendations, which is to remove paragraph IB, 1B, and I don't know what the next one is.
Yeah, I mean, if the council agrees to send it to the Groundfish, we can make it all as one motion, but if the council agrees with the first part, then the other two would be the things that we recommend to give to the Groundfish Committee. Those are our recommendations. I mean, it can all be one motion. Because it's, I mean, just to shorten it up, I mean, the first one is to review what immediate use is, and the second one is talking about the doors and whether or not, and the third one is whether or not you still have to use a tarp. those are the three things. It's going to be up to the groundfish committee. We saw yesterday with the aerial photos that it seems to, the snow fence seems to work, and something that the Coast Guard is agreeable with. And it's just up to whether we still need the immediate use and the tarping. So they're just recommendations to the groundfish committee, as long as the council agrees.
And once these recommendations go to the groundfish committee, then they will come back to the council for some action or inclusion.
Right. If the groundfish committee agreed, it would have to be, I'm assuming it would have to be an action. I don't think there's anything that can be done in-house.
Okay. Without objection, why don't we combine all three of them?
Okay. Karen, if you could, I'll read the third one, which is actually number two. It's confused. We don't have a document. The committee also approved a motion, to change completely the wording in section 648.23, B1.3, part A, and 648.23, B1.4, part A, to say the net is on the reel and the surface is covered with an approved material. Those are the wording that we would like changed.
Council discussion. Dave Gaethel.
The second part, I think it should say to remove the section that says the towing wires must be detached from the doors. What it says there right now doesn't really say anything.
So at the beginning before that, you would have...
It would say, I got to find the language here, to remove from section 648.23B14, part B, that requires the towing wires to detach from the doors. That's the language it should say.
So after that is required...
To remove this section that requires the towing wires be detached from the doors. Remove towing wires be detached from the doors. Right. And then we just got to take out that last that requires the towing wires be removed. Yep.
And then yep. After the first that requires.
Right. There we go.
We got it.
And... Well, as long as I'm got the floor, the reason, again, from my memory of the discussion, we did have a representative of general counsel there, that this would have to be included in some action that they couldn't administratively remove this section. So it's going to have to go into, I can't remember whether it's a framework or an amendment, but it's got to go somewhere.
All right, so at the moment we are essentially remanding this to the Groundfish Committee for work.
That's correct. And then if they approve it, it would come back to the council, and then it would have to go into a future groundfish action, which is unfortunately cumbersome.
Anything else from the council? I'll call the question. All those in favor so indicate. So 14 in favor, opposed, abstention, 1, 14-0-1. Motion carries. Yes, Dave.
Before you leave this committee report, I have an issue to address and a motion to make.
Yeah, I wanted to make sure the committee chair was done. Gene?
I'm not sure if we got the right citation there. I think it's supposed to be a small b. I think there's another. So just if we understand that we'll need to look up the right citation just to, after the fact, to clarify this.
Without
just
objection.
Just looking at this, I don't think that's quite the right citation. So just with the understanding that we'll figure that out with staff, what the right paragraph is.
Okay. Thank you. Frank.
Okay, that was not me. The next committee meeting will be on March 22nd. It's to analyze the enforcement impacts of Herring and Amendment 5 and comment on NOAA's enforcement priorities. And that's basically it for this, and I think Captain Nicola needs the floor.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Wanted to recognize the Terry Alexander and the crew of the fishing vessel Joker for their participation in the field testing. So Admiral Neptune has drafted a quick letter to him and the crew. Captain Steve York, Darren Carlton, and Roy Hoverson, the letter reads, Dear gentlemen, thank you for supporting the efforts of the New England Fisheries Management Council's Enforcement Committee Gear Stowage Workshop held on November 29, 2011. Your efforts greatly supported the Coast Guard's goal of protecting living marine resources, ensuring a level playing field throughout the fishing industry, and contributing to the safety of life at sea. By volunteering your time and resources, you enabled us to demonstrate the potential effectiveness of the proposed configuration on the fishing vessel Joka and lay the groundwork for constructive change that addresses the safety concerns of industry and the enforcement requirements of the Coast Guard. By being part of this unique collaborative approach to developing regulations, you made a significant contribution toward the prevention of overfishing, rebuilding of overfished stocks, the protection of essential fish habitats. All these actions enhance our ability to realize the potential of the nation's fishery resources in New England. Thank you for your service to our maritime community. Signed, Dan A. Neptune, Rear Admiral U.S. Coast Guard, 1st District Commander. So thank you for that, and that concludes the letter.
Thank you. David Pierce.
Earlier on this morning, we had some discussions about enforcement, and Paul is drafting a letter to convey those particular issues and questions to law enforcement. I have another suggestion that about an issue that should be referred to the enforcement committee for its consideration. And I can either do this in the form of a motion I'll put the motion up, and then, Mr. Chairman, you can decide whether or not the council would agree to send it off. But I have to modify this first because it's too long. So, Karen, would you remove the words first line, Northeast Multi-Species Committee and? Okay. And then would you go to after the colon where it says recommendations and remove where it says on board, and then go down to the end of the quotation at the last line where it says deterrent at this time, and get rid of that. Okay. Now, I've made a number of observations and suggestions regarding enforcement earlier on this morning, concerned about enforcement and accurate monitoring. And it occurred to me that because we no longer have onboard inspections by dockside monitors, that was done away with 2011, that was made very clear in a National Marine Fisheries Service July 19, 2011 announcement. We did away with it, and we did away with it because there was justification for it. I did away with the words that I'm going to now reference. This is what was said by the National Marine Fisheries Service in that announcement. They said, the vessel trip end pre-landing hail requirement provides an efficient and effective means for observation and enforcement of vessel landing requirements through unannounced observation of vessel offloads at the discretion of law enforcement, which can include inspection of the hold. The hail requirement and spot inspections allow for deployment of limited monitoring and enforcement resources to the greatest effect. The possibility of such inspection is believed to be a sufficient deterrent at this time. Now, that was back in 2011. I'm not so sure if the National Marine Fisheries Service still has this perspective. May not. Talking to my state law enforcement officers, I'm not so sure that this belief still exists. And if it does not exist, it calls into question whether or not we are effectively monitoring the nature of the vessel's landing. So it seems to me that it makes sense to at least offer request that our own VMS enforcement committee address this issue by simply asking some questions that could be addressed by the committee, relying, of course, on the opinions of law enforcement, state as well as federal. So my motion is that the following issue and questions be referred to the VMS Enforcement Committee for their consideration and recommendations. That's a period after recommendations, Karen. Sorry about that. So after almost two fishing years with groundfish ACLs and sector ACEs in place, with there being no landing requirements for sector vessels, do state and federal law enforcement officers believe the hail requirement is a sufficient deterrent for false reporting of actual landings? Are trip and hails being checked with vessel offloads? How often does that verification occur? And what have been the results of that monitoring? What is the penalty for a vessel offloading more than its hail, and how much of a difference in hail and offload must there be before there is a violation? I think these are very important questions to be answered, which is why I offer them up for council consideration. To me, this is a critical issue. We did away with dockside monitoring because of specific beliefs by law enforcement. Are those beliefs still held?
Paul Howard.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. As you all know, the enforcement in this region has been under tremendous scrutiny, and the new special agent in charge is looking for us to input. What do we think is important? And he wants to know where his agents should set their priority. And he's reaching out to the council, just like the Coast Guard is. They want to interact better with the council. So Frank is having a meeting in March that hopefully will talk about, you know, the misreporting and the Gulf of Maine Cod, Georgia's Bank. We'll talk about this issue. And there ought to be a number of issues dealing with enforcement of sectors and the new enforcement things where we want to tell Special Agent Logan where does the council see priorities and what kind of enforcement do they want to see, the most important items. So I think this is a great start for that meeting. And in April, we'll come back with a list of what the council thinks is priorities for enforcement.
Does that answer from your standpoint, Dave?
Well, yes. If these questions are going I look to you for guidance. I would like these questions to be part of the list of questions or issues that Frank's committee can address with state and federal law enforcement officers.
If I heard Paul correctly, they will be.
Okay.
Jim.
Yeah, I just want to point out, I know the motion's it's going to be on a list, but first of all, just I was always in favor of having dockside monitoring because I think that's an important component of the catch share system. However, it's impossible for a fisherman to hail with any precision. In other words, we can see hails fluctuate 30%, basically because of different times of year. Sometimes the fish are watery. They lose a lot more than you think they lose. And then we see this happen all the time. So short of weighing every fish, which is impossible on any size catch, that I would be worried about trying to call that make that be a precision type of measure. Although I do agree that we need to monitor the landings. So I just want to make sure that we recognize it, that it's impossible to have that kind of precision.
Glenn.
Thanks, Mr. Chairman. Do we need a second before we
No,
go
we're
on this?
Just we're it's essentially done. It's going to go over
okay.
to that committee and that
I was going to just say basically what Jim said. My son, for example, always overhails, and it might look like he is hiding some fish. He's not. He just doesn't. And he's been doing it for quite a few years and cannot get the numbers right. Then you've got other guys who are right on and some who are always way over. So if you're going to use that as a way to find out how many fish are being landed, the parameters are going to have to be really broad. Otherwise, you'll be hauling people in for bad math in their head.
Dave.
Yeah, it's the last sentence of this that kind of kind of makes me uneasy. I've thought from day one, all you got to do is the time that matters. It's not what you catch. All you should be required to report is, I'm going to be in at 4:30. You want to send somebody down, send somebody down. I can only speak for New Hampshire, but we get covered very frequently and very randomly by the Joint Enforcement Agreement, as well as by uniform NOAA police. So, but I don't know about other states, so I think David's request to get reports on a state-by-state basis is a reasonable request. I mean, if we have issues in a given state or something, we'd like to know that. But I certainly don't want to go back to the dockside monitors. I think they're the biggest waste of money we ever had.
Well, but the assumption is that these items will all be discussed at that at the meeting. And okay, and nothing else under enforcement? We will break for lunch. We're going to try and do it in an hour, back at 1:15 for our next presentation.